They will see Ma'amar Tetvav in Sichot Musar of Chaim Shmulevitz, entitled Lefum Tsa'ara Agra. The reward is in accordance with the effort. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz migurei aviv be'eretz Kena'an. Yaakov lived in Megure Aviv, in the dwelling places of his father, Be'eretz Kenan. Upiresh Rashi, Rashi explains, Bikesh Yaakov Lishev Beshalva, Kafat Salav Rugzo Shel Yosef. Yaakov desired to sit Beshalva, to settle down with tranquility. Kafat Salav Rugzo Shel Yosef, and immediately pounced upon him the episode, the difficult story of Yosef. Tzadikim mevakshim leshev beshalva, Rashi says. Rashi says, at times the tzadikim, they ask to dwell in tranquility. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo dayan la tzadikim ha-shem etukan lahem leolam haba, elam mevakshim leshev beshalva ve'olam hazeh. Is it not enough, the great reward that is awaiting the tzadikim in olam haba, that they want to sit in this world in calmness and tranquility, at ease, at peace? Now, says Rav Chaim, minevadai shelo nitkaven Yaakov Avinu leshev beshalva lehanot me'olam hazeh. I mean, surely Yaakov Avinu was not looking for luxuries here, to enjoy, you know, the world. Ela she'le'achar kol tela'otav. It was just, I mean, after all his trials and tribulations that he went through, ratza b'shalvat nefesh. He wanted some peace of mind. Kedei la'asok b'Torah ve'avodat Hashem lo mafriya. Maybe now I could sit and learn Torah without any deterrent. Ve'lechora en lecha bakasha kesherah mizu. What could be a better bakasha, a better desire than that? U'mikol makom nitva Yaakov al kach. And yet, there is a tvi'a on Yaakov. He's held accountable for this. Because it should be enough what's awaiting for the tzadikim in olam haba. Why is that? And here's the key sentence. Ki ha'olam hazeh lo uchan le'avodat Hashem mitoch shalva u'mnucha. Boy, oh boy, if we could remember this. I'll repeat. Ki ha'olam hazeh lo uchan le'avodat Hashem mitoch shalva u'mnucha. This world has not been made for the purpose of serving Hashem from tranquility and rest. Ela ikar ha'avoda himitoch hadachak. The main service of Hashem in this world is from the midst of difficulty. Amazing. We're not meant to rest. We're not meant to serve Hashem from ease. Adraba, the opposite. Kedeita be'avod Rabbi Natan, like the statement in Avod Rabbi Natan, Perigimel, Tov davar echad betzar mime'a berevach. To do one mitzvah, one good deed, with hardship, is greater than 100 good deeds with ease, with leisure. Utnan be'avot, and the famous statement in Pirkei Avot, Perikei lefum tsa'ara, to the extent of the difficulty, agra is the reward. Kevan shecheshbon ha'sachar lefi ha'tsar, so if the reward is in accordance with the tsar, harei she'ikar ha'avoda hi b'tsar, so that shows that the main avodat Hashem is to be from difficulty, from hardship, from the opposite of easiness. Ve'ha'adam she'eno mistapek be'hechrachiyut u'mbakesh et ha'motarot. So now, someone who is not satisfied with the bare minimum of his needs, and he always looks for more, he looks for luxuries and extras, motarot. Lo zu bilvad she'chaser lo yikar mi'ikarei avodat Hashem ve'en lo et ha'sachar shel achat be'tzar. It's not only that he does not have the reward of doing a mitzvah b'tzar, ela shegam etzem lekichat ha-motarot ve-hana'ato mehem morida lo mischaro le'olam haba. It's not just that he's not fulfilling the main purpose of avodat Hashem, but it is detracting, it is actually deducting from his reward in olam haba if he takes from the pleasures of this world. V'chol ma sheyesh la'adam yater al ha'echrechi la'avodat Hashem, anything that a person has more than the necessary, nechshav le'motarot, is considered extra, is considered luxury. Uba al cheshbon ha'sachar ha'atid, it comes at the expense of the futuristic reward. And this is a story that is told to us in the Midrash about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. One of the students of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai left Eretz Yisrael. Uba Ashir, he came back rich. And the Talmidim were envious. And the thought crept into their mind, maybe we should also go there and make some money like that and become rich. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai already felt the vibes that were going on. Hotzi'an Rav Shimon Bar Yochai lebika'a achat shel page madon veitpalel. He said, Rabotai, let's close the Gemara today and we're going to go on a class trip. And they went to a valley in the place called Page Madon and he prayed. You understand Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's prayer, what it can affect, what it can do. Ve'amar, and he said, Bik'a, Bik'a, himal'i dinare zahav. O valley, fill up with golden coins. Hitchila moshechet dinare zahav lifnehem. It was like Atlantic City. All of a sudden, it was like golden coins were falling down from the mountain. Amar lahem, so he turns to his talmidim and he said, Im zahav atem mevakshim are zahav. You want gold? Here's gold. Here's gold. Tulu lachem. Take for yourselves. Elahevu yodim. But just know, kol mishu notel achshav, anyone who takes now, chelko shel olam haba hu notel. He's taking away from his share in olam haba. She'en matan sechar ha-Torah ela la'olam haba. Because the reward for Torah is exclusively in olam haba. Heve v'tischak liyom acharon. That's the meaning of the pasuk. Oz ve'adar levusha v'tischak liyom acharon. The schok, the laughter, the reward, the happiness, the true ultimate reward is liyom acharon, is on the last day, meaning olam haba. Limdunu chazal are teaching us shekol ma she'adam lokeach me'olam hazeh b'chdei shirvach lo, anything a person takes in this world, just for the purpose of having plenty, hu notel mechelko be'olam haba, he is deducting it, he is removing it, he is subtracting it from his riches that awaits him in Olam Haba. Who kam vo'ar, she'avodah mitoch ha'dachak, hihi ha'nirtzet ve'nidreshet min ha'adam. That's because it is the service of Hashem that comes from dachak, from hardship, which is the pleasing avodah, which is the desired service that Hashem wants from a person. Ve'lishma husam ha'adam ba'olam hazeh, it's for that purpose that we were put in this world. You know, this might sound like a bit, superficially it might sound, you know, depressing to hear this. We're here to suffer, we're here to, you know, but it's actually very encouraging to hear this. There's a big chizuk in hearing this. That means every time it's difficult, every time it's hard, we should know, oh, we're living our purpose right now. See, that's a whole different perspective. Instead of looking at it like, oh, so I was put into this world to suffer, what kind of a world is this? No. Look at it this way. The world has hardships already, right? I mean, each one has his hardships. How to juggle difficult studies with learning Torah. That's very hard. And when it's going hard, if a person can remember, that's my purpose in life. That's the reason why we're put in this world. Oh, that makes it all much more easier. That's a very encouraging thought. Imagine if a person does not know this. If you don't know this piece of information, this world could be a very frightening world. But when a person knows that Hashem puts Adam in this world, Adam le'amal yulad, we are for the purpose of amal, so even when there are difficult times, we are able to raise our eyes to Hashem and say, Hashem, I know you're with me, and I know this is what I live for. You put me here for this, and I thank you for choosing me and believing in me that I could actually get through this. That's a whole different perspective, and there's a tremendous chizuk in understanding this. Lachen kol ma shenotel yoter min ha'echrechi la'avodat Hashem. Therefore, what a person takes that is more than necessary, arei hu nimtza biyado lelo tachlit. it comes out that that's in your hands for nothing. It's for not. It's for no purpose. Ela rak betorat sachar, which means if it's for no purpose, then it's all. Then it must be a reward. A reward. Therefore, it's removed from your chelik in olam haba. So Yosef, you're speaking out a very correct understanding here, and that is what we're learning here. Yeah, it doesn't mean we're not supposed to have pleasure in this world. Hashem wants us to have pleasure, but the pleasure has to be within the framework of service of Hashem. So once it's within the framework of service of Hashem, it's not lelo tachlit. It's not without any purpose. It's part of serving Hashem. Then that's different. But any pleasure that is extra, that I don't need this pleasure. What do I gain out of it? It's just extra. It's miscellaneous. That is already bordering on sachar. And sachar is not meant to be in this world. As the famous statement goes, Hayom la'asotam u'machar lekabel secharam. This world is for doing. This world is for accomplishing. And usually accomplishing is through, you know, hardship, is through getting over difficulties. I don't know if a person only has pleasures in life, how much he can accomplish. Accomplishment is usually, almost exclusively, from difficulty and from overcoming struggles. So yeah, it doesn't mean you can't have pleasure, but the pleasure has to be within the context of I'm doing this in order to be able to continue striving and gaining strides in Avodat Hashem. Now, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz is going to take it a notch above right now, and he's going to say, what is considered hechachiyot, necessities, and what is considered motarot, luxuries, enze ke'asagatenu anu. It is much more than what we think. It's beyond our scope. He says, "Nitbonena b'maaseh de Rav Shimon ben Chalafta ad hechan advarim megiim." Let's look into the story of Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta that's brought in Midrash Rabba in Shemot. It's similar to a story that is well known about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa in Masechet Ta'anit. I'll read it in translation. There was a story is related in the Midrash about Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, who came back home on Friday, and he didn't have any money to bring home. And he left the city and he went to pray to Hashem. He poured out his heart to Hashem. And miraculously, a precious gemstone was given to him from Shamayim, worth millions. He gave it to an appraiser and he was able to have parnasah for himself, for that Shabbat and more. His wife told him, where'd you get all this food from? What happened? You won the lottery? What happened here? He told her, it's from Hashem. Hashem gave us parnasah. So she wasn't, you know, falling for that. And she said to him, listen, if you're not going to tell me where all this food came from, I'm not tasting anything. That's what she said to him. So he told her the story. I went and I prayed and a miracle happened and Hashem gave me Evan Tova. She said to him, I'm not tasting anything until you tell me that on Motzei Shabbat you are giving it back. He told her, what's going on here? Lama, why? She said to him, do you want your table in Shamayim, in Olam Haba, to be missing and the table of your friends to be complete? That's the Midrash. Hare shematzavam haya kol kach dachuk, we see from here that their matzav, their situation was so dire that they didn't even have the basic needs for Shabbat until he had to pray for a miracle. And yet his wife was adamant about the fact that I'm not, you know, buckling in here just because a miracle happened. I don't care. And she realized that the truth is that all this is on the account. It's at the expense of our reward in Olam Haba. So, I mean, it's interesting. Even though they didn't have enough for Tzorchei Shabbat, it's still called Shelo Chaser Laim Klum Me'amuchrach. If they have the bare minimum, then that's enough. If they are able to serve Hashem from the bare minimum, that is all extra, more than that. And they're going to be taking from their table in Olam Haba. Of course, this definitely depends on the level of people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows each person where he's holding and what he needs. Of course, he held Rav Shimon ben Chalafta and his holy wife to a very high standard, that they were able to serve Hashem in such a way, from such dochak, that even more than the bare minimum is already considered taking away from Sachar in Olam Haba. Look what Yaakov Avinu said in his tefillah in the beginning of Parashat Vayetze. V'natan li lechem le'echol u'beged lilbosh. Hashem, all I ask from you is lechem le'echol, bread to eat, and clothing to wear. Yaakov lo bikesh elai tamuchrach lo. He only asked what was the bare minimum for him. And it even when he sent his children to Mitzrayim, right? In Parashat Miketz next week, lishbor ochel, to bring back food in the time of the famine. What did he tell them? Listen to this word that gets ignored. Shuvu shivru lanu me'at ochel. Go and bring a little bit of food for us. Me'at. It didn't say shuvu shivru lanu ochel. Shivru lanu me'at ochel. Only what is the bare minimum, no more than that. V'gam ze lo amar. And when did he ask for that? Rak ka'asher kilu le'echol et ha-shever asher eviu. It says in the Pasuk, he only asked them to go back to Mitzrayim to bring back a little food, only after they totally finished the food that they brought the first time. And Yehuda, what did he tell Yosef when he reported in Parashat Vayigash, when he was reporting the story? Vayomer Avinu, and our father told us, Shuvu Shivru Lanu Me'at Ochel. Once again, the word Me'at, which means our father sent us only for the Hechrechi, only for what is necessary, Velo Be'ad Motarot, not for any extras. So you see, Yaakov Avinu, when he said, V'natan li Lechem Le'echol, he meant what he said, Lechem Le'echol. He didn't say v'natani lechem u'beged. Lechem le'echol. Gam ha'beged lilbosh shebikesh Yaakov vaday al derech zehaya. Same thing with the clothing that he asked for. Chalila leha'alot al adat shenitkaven lebigdei pe'er asher etzlenu emegeder dvarim ha'muchachim. He didn't ask for any fancy garments that for us already is included in hechreach, in the bare minimum, right? Elo bikesh rak lilbosh, beget lilbosh, just as is needed for getting dressed, for wearing. And he brings us a fascinating Gemara in Masechet Nedarim, on Daf Memtet Amud Bet, that talks about the great Rabbi Yehuda bar Rabbi Eli, our Tana Rabbi Yehuda. It says, Devitu de Rabbi Yehuda, the wife of Rabbi Yehuda, nafkat, she went out, naktat amra, she bought wool, Avda glima dehutve, and she made a overcoat from that wool. So you know what it says? Kad nafkat leshuka michasya be. When she would go out to the street, when she would have to go outside, she would use that coat. V'chad nafik Rav Yehuda litzaluye, and when Rav Yehuda went out to pray, hava michsi umatzli, he would use that same overcoat to cover himself, to go outside. V'kad michsi be, and when he would put it on, hava mevarech, he would say a bracha, Baruch she'atani me'il. Thank you, Hashem, for clothing me with a coat. And the Ran explains there, she'ach chaviv kol kach v'chashuv ke'me'il, she'lo haya la'en acher. It was so precious to them, it was their only coat. Rabbi Yehuda was very poor. And they had one coat that he would share with his wife. Now he says, "V'yeshli d'bonen." I used to hear this diuk from Rabbi Miller many times, alav shalom, and I see Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz said the exact same thing. "V'yeshli d'bonen eze beged hayaze." Let's think for a second over here. What type of a coat are we talking about? We're surely not talking about any kind of, you know, fashion, fancy coat, because she'are al kli gever aisha mitzuva belo ye kli gever alisha, right? If it's a coat that is a men's wear, a woman is not allowed to wear. V'im simlat ishai, if it's a woman's coat, Harehu mitzuveh belo ilbash. A man is not allowed to wear. So what's the pshat over here that Rabbi Yehuda wore it one time and his wife wore it one time? What does that say about the coat? Tzarech lomar sheaglima lo hayta ela chatichat bad. This coat was basically the simplest form of the wool fabric. Shelo shayach bashem beged isho isha. It's not, if you would look at it, you can't call it a women's coat or a men's coat. It didn't look like either or neither. And yet look how Rabbi Yehuda was happy with it and appreciative of it when he said, Baruch she'atani me'il, as if it was some kind of coat from who knows where. All this because they did not want to enjoy a speck more than the bare minimum from this world. That's what Yaakov Avinu said, Beged Lilbosh. Now the question is, how do we reach such a level? Is that even possible for us? Or at least in relation to our level, on our level, how do we achieve this mindset of not running after luxuries or just being satisfied with what we have that is necessary for us? He brings from the Gemara Nedarim Dafnun, the story about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva itkachat lebrate de Kalba Savua. As we know, Rabbi Akiva married the daughter of Kalba Savua. Now, Kalba Savua was from the top three richest men in Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Akiva married his daughter. Shama Kalba Savua Adra Hana'ami Kol Nichse. Now, at the time, Rabbi Akiva was not known to be a Talmid Chacham. In fact, the opposite, right? So Kalba Savua was very, very displeased with this choice of his daughter, to the point where he practically disowned them. He was very upset, and he made a neder that they cannot have Hana'a from his possessions. He was very upset. Azla ve'itnas vale besitvu. They got married in the winter time. Havagane beitivna, and they slept in the barn with the, where the teven, where the hay was stored. And you could imagine how they were living in an utter state of poverty, freezing in the cold of the winter in that barn. Ata Eliyahu id milehu ke'enasha ve'kakari abava. Eliyahu Anavi came, who took on the image of a person, of a human, and he was calling by the entrance of the door. He was calling out, he was announcing, Amar lehu habuli purta de tivna, please, can you give me some hay? De'yalda itti, because my wife gave birth, ve'letli mida'am, Le'aguna, and I don't have anything to protect her with. Can you give me some hay to cover her with? Amar la Rabbi Akiva l'intate. Rabbi Akiva turned to his wife and he said, look at that. Chaze gavra dafilu tivna letle. That means there's worse than us. Look at that. There's a person who even tevin, even hay, he doesn't have. Amra le, she told him, zil havi beirav. Go learn in yeshiva. We're fine. Look at that. So that's the Gemara in Nedarim. Ayin Sham Baran, the Ran explains, Sha'asai Eliyahu kach kedele nachamam. Eliyahu Navi did that to give them some comfort. La'ot laim she'esh aniyim yoter mehem, to show them that there were people who were worse off than them. Now, what do we learn from here? Bi'ur advarim, kachu teva adam shekshiro'et ashir mimenu. The human tendency is that when you see someone who is richer than you, that's when your shortcoming, your lacking is highlighted. You notice what you don't have when you see someone who has more. And so that brings into the heart the tsar of the poverty. The luxury of the rich man seemingly in one's eyes become like a necessity, like a must-have. The cause of this is because he's looking at someone who has more than him. The way of service of Hashem is when it comes to Gashmiut, to always try to look at those who have less. Besides for the fact that by looking at their plight, you will put into your heart to help them, but it will also give you the sense of appreciation of what you do have. Yargish et tovat Hashem alav ve lo yireh et matzavo kechaser. He won't see his situation as a situation of lacking. Ki ba'olam hazeh hakol nimdad etzel ha'adam lefi zulato. Because that's the way it is. In this world, everything is measured according to what the other person has. So when Rabbi Akiva and his wife, the daughter of Kalva Savua, saw that it's possible for people to be worse off than them, they gained comfort from that. See, it doesn't say Eliyahu Navi came and threw a basket of a stash of $100 bills, you know, and made them rich overnight. It doesn't say that. Could Eliyahu Navi have done that? He could have done that. What's the problem? Just like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, in a snap of a finger, was able to cause a mountain to bring down golden coins, Eliyahu Navi could have done that to Akiva and his wife. Why not? Instead, what did he do? He gave them the news that someone is poorer than them. And that's how he comforted them. Because he didn't want to change them from their greatness. He knew Rabbi Akiva is supposed to be born from this situation. And the only way for Rabbi Akiva to come out of this situation was to stay in their matzav, in their dire straits that they were, but with chizuk. He wanted to give them chizuk. So what was the chizuk? Look, there are people who are worse off. So they were comforted by that. To the point where his wife told him, okay, you could go to yeshiva, you could go learn, we're going to be fine. Because if we're not lacking, then you don't have any excuse not to toil in Torah. And hence, the rest is history. Rabbi Akiva came out of that. And that's what the Chovot HaLevavot says in Shar Avodat HaElokim. Lihyot eino tamid al mishu lemata mimenu berov HaTovot. Our eyes should always be looking at those who are less than us, financially speaking. Lo al mishu lemala mimenu, not towards the one who is more than you. When it comes to ruchniyut, when it comes to spirituality, it's the opposite. You're supposed to look up to the one who has more than you to strive to reach his level. But when it comes to gashmiyut, a person should look at those who are less than him. I like the famous twist on the words, Asher bashamayim mimal ve'al ha'aretz mitachat. When it comes to shamayim, to inyanim of shamayim, ruchniyut, mima'al, we look upwards. Al ha'aretz, when it comes to matters of artziyut, of earthly matters, mitachat, we look at the one who is beneath us, and that's how, number one, we gain compassion, and we bestir our heart to do good to them, and number two, which is just as important, we are consoled in the fact that we appreciate what we do have, and we use it for Avodat Hashem, and we don't strive for motarot, for extra and for luxury, and for what is not necessary. Yes, it's true that today it could be the bar of hechrechiyut is definitely higher than it used to be. But the point is not to pass that bar, not to strive for more than that. And that's what it says, Im b'chukotai telechu shetiyu amelim b'torah. Ve'im lo tiyu amelim b'torah, hare ze b'chukotai timasu. The only way to reach high levels in Torah is with amal, is with working hard. And what is the way of amal b'Torah? The famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, Kachi darka shel Torah, pat b'melach tochal. The way of Torah is a piece of bread in salt, you shall eat, umayim bimsura tishte, and water with a measure, you shall drink, ve'al aretz tishan, and on the ground you sleep, v'chayet sa'ar tichye, a life of hardship you live, u'batorah ata amel, and in the Torah you labor. So Reb Chaim says, notice, the words u'batorah ata amel comes at the end. It doesn't say u'batorah ata amel in the beginning. Only after a person is willing to understand and to live a life where he does not run and does not pursue after the luxuries of the world more than is necessary, then it's only then is it shayach to say u'batorah ata amel, that in Torah you toil. Now, a side benefit, it's not only that we are zochet to be amelim b'Torah if we understand this, but the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah continues and says that a person merits to osher en olam hazeh, osher with the aleph, happiness, true contentment in this world. And the Mishnah says, imata oseken ashrecha ba'olam hazeh v'tov lach le'olam haba. If a person does so, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh, you are content, you are happy in this world. Surely it's good for you in the next world. Adama meshubad le'ta'avota, because someone who is bound by his ta'avot, le'olam enonach, someone who's always seeking to fulfill his desires, he never rests. The famous statement in Kohelet Rabbah, a person never leaves this world with even a half of what he desired in his hands. A person always wants more and more. You think that a rich man who has millions in his bank is sitting at home with leisure and learning and serving Hashem with peace of mind. The truth is quite the opposite. He's not resting for a minute. He's always going to suffer the feeling of I'm still don't have something. I'm still missing. He looks at that businessman who's greater than him and has a taller building than him and says to himself, why is he there? How do I get that? And he goes to his workers and he says, okay, we have to have a meeting here. We're making a business meeting. How are we going to even multiply even more? What are we doing wrong here? The guy is sitting on millions and millions, and he's asking them, what are we doing wrong? Because he can't rest when he sees someone else. He's suffering from that. He can never be appreciative and grateful for what he has. Because he's always lacking. But if a person lives according to the way of the Torah, and not to pursue luxuries, then there's no end to his joy in this world. All his days, he's happy. That's why it says in Mishle, V'tov lev mishte tamid. Someone who is merry of heart is always in a life of a party. Tov lev means he's always satisfied. Ezehu ashir, who is the true rich man, is a person who sameach bechelko, who is happy with his lot. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the tzaddikim. Lo dayan ha-tzaddikim ha-shem etukan laim le'olam haba. The place for reward is in the next world. This world is made to serve Hashem out of difficulty, out of hardship. Not only that, he says, v'gam al dvarim ha-muchachim v'chiyunim b'tiyoter, he says, en ala adam lidog da'agat machal. Not even to worry the worry of tomorrow. Even when a person has the bare minimum, he should not worry about tomorrow. He brings the Mishnah in Masechet Sotah that says, when the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, Pasku Anshe Amana Yisrael. From the time of Chorban Bet HaMikdash, people of Emunah, of real faith in Hashem, ceased to exist. And on this, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol said, Kol mi sheyesh lo pat besalo, anyone who has bread in his basket, ve'omer ma'ochal le'machar, and he says, what am I going to eat for tomorrow? He's miketane amana. He's from the people who lack faith. And another example, the Gemara in Masechet Betzah about Hillel HaZaken, that he would not worry from Sunday what he will have on Shabbat. Every day he saw something, he bought it for that day. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. He would thank Hashem day by day, which means Hillel had the midah of bitachon, of trust in Hashem, to know that when Shabbat comes, I will have what I need. There's no reason for me to worry about that a day or two or 3 days before. And he brings an example from Hagar. Listen to this. By Hagar, it says, Vayifkach Elohim et enea vatere be'er maim, vatelech vatemale et achem et maim vatashketanal. Listen to these words. It says, remember when Hagar was sent off to the desert with Yishmael and the water that they were given ran out and the boy was dying of thirst. So he started crying. She started crying. Hashem heard their tefillot. And Hashem opened her eyes and she saw from afar there was a well with water. Now look what it says. Vatelech vatemale et achem et maim. She went and she filled up her jar. How do you say it? Her canteen, right? Her canteen with water. She filled up her canteen with water and she gave water to her son. Look what Chazal in the Midrash say. Stinging words of Musar. Ve'amu Chazal, mechuseret amana haita. She was lacking emunah. What? What do you mean lacking emuna? How do you see she was lacking emuna? Rashi explains because it says vatemale tachemet. She filled up her canteen. You didn't need to fill it up. Why did you fill it up? She was fearful. Who knows if this miraculous well that just showed up, if it's still going to be here, I better take advantage right now and fill up my entire canteen because I could use it tomorrow, you know. I could use the water. Ooh, Hagar, miktaneh amanaita. You're worried about tomorrow? Who are we talking about? She was dying of thirst. And she sees a well. How could you blame anyone for filling up the chemet? Yeah, but Hagar came from the house of Avraham Avinu, Avraham and Sarah. Hagar was held to a much higher standard than all of us. Hagar was held to the standard of never ever fearing and never ever losing trust in Hashem and worrying about the next day. She should have just taken the exact amount that was needed right now. And that's it. Vatemale tachemet. I'll tell you, the Torah is mind-boggling. The Torah is mind-boggling. Only the Torah could hold someone accountable for what? Vatemale etachemet. She made that mistake of filling up her bottle with water. Imagine. Just amazing. So continuing in the Sicha, it's on page Memhei. On the bottom, it says, Ketiv besof parashat ha-tochecha. At the end of the, towards the end of the Tochecha in Parashat Kitavo, it says, "Vehayu chayecha teluim lecha mineged," and your life will be hanging in front of you. Ufachata laila veyomam, and there you will worry day and night. Velo ta'amin bechayecha, and you won't believe in your life. You won't trust your life. That's harsh words from the Tochecha. The Amu Chazal, the Gemara in Menachot Kuf Gimel says, "V'ayu chayecha teluim lecha mineged." What does that mean? Ze halokeach tvua mishana leshana. That's someone who has produce from one year to the next, which means one year he doesn't know what he's going to have the next year. He just knows that he has for that year. So it's okay, right? But still, there is that worry: what's going to be the next year? Ufachata laila veyomam. That is referring to ze halokeach tevua me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat. That's someone who goes from week to week. That's even a bigger worry. Ve'lo ta'amin bechayecha, and you will not believe in your life, ze asomech al paltar. That's the one who relies on the baker, which means day to day. Pirush Rashi, ze halokeach tevua mishana leshana she'en lo karka lizroa. The one who is worried from year to year, he doesn't have his own land to sow. He doesn't know what's going to be the next year. So that's the explanation of the Gemara on the part of the Tochecha. So now Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is asking, what's the klala here? He says, wasn't that the situation of Am Yisrael in the Dor HaMidbar? Dor De'a, the generation of knowledge of Hashem, Mekablei HaTorah, those who received the Torah, Shelo Haya Lahem Klum Liyom HaMachorat, V'Chayu Miyom Liyom. They didn't know what's going to be the next day. They collected their food for that day without knowing what was going to be the next day. What are you going to tell us? That Am Yisrael lived in the Midbar in a situation which is described as a klala of the Tochecha? So must be not, right? So how is that part of the Tochecha? Also, in addition, the Gemara in Yoma, Dafayin Vav, famously says, Sha'alu et Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Talmidim of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai asked him, "Mipnei ma lo yarad lahem l'Yisrael man pa'am echad b'shana?" Why is it that Hashem didn't have it, didn't make it so that Am Yisrael would collect the man once for the entire year, right? One big day of a nice heavy blizzard of man, and let them collect enough that will miraculously stay for them for the entire year. Why did it have to be a daily activity? Every morning you go out and you collect. Right? That's what they asked Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. אמר להם, הם שואל לכם משל למה הדבר דומה. He said to them, I have a משל for you. למלך בשר ודם שיש לו בן אחד. A king has an only son. פסק לו מזונותיו פעם אחת בשנה. And the king, you know, assigned for him mezonot, food, parnasa, once a year, he would supply him with his parnasa for the year. ולא היה מקבל פני אביו, אלא פעם אחת בשנה. And what happened was, as is the natural tendency, that the son only came to greet his father once a year, when he needed, you know, have, give. So what did the father do? Okay, עמד ופסק מזונותיו בכל יום. He decided, that's it, I'm going to be giving you food every day for that day. והיה מקבל פני אביו כל יום. And in this way, he was able to greet his son every day. אף ישראל, says רבי שמעון בר יוחאי, same thing Hashem did with עם ישראל. מי שיש לו ארבעה וחמישה בנים, היה דואג ואומר שמה לא ירד מן למחר, ונמצאו כולם מתים ברעב. נמצא כולם מכוונים את ליבם לאביהם שבשמיים. Hashem made it by design that it should be every day, so that every day they pray to Hashem, they turn their eyes to Hashem, they have a whole family, and please Hashem, I hope you, just like you gave me today, I hope you give me tomorrow. Imagine if it would be once a year, so then, you know, they wouldn't be mekabel pene avihem shebashamayim, ela pa'am achat, not even pa'am achat b'chodesh, dayam, ela pa'am achat lechol ha'shana, the whole year. So that was the answer of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. What do we see from here? אם כן מבואר שמצב זה אינו כללה, אלא ברכה. So we see that such a מצב of the daily having to lift up your eyes to Hashem and ask for your parnasa, is it hard? Yes, but it's not a מצב that could be called כללה. It's a ברכה שעל ידו זוכים לכוון את ליבם לשמיים. It causes a relationship between us and Hashem. וביותר יש לתמוע, not only that, to make the question even stronger, that pasuk of "Vehayu chayecha teluim lecha mineged ufachat halayla v'yomam ve'lo tamim b'chayecha" is the last, is towards the last pasuk of the tochecha, which means the tochecha culminates with that klala. It sounds like that is the worst, like that is the biggest klala in the world. Just a parallel to this, the Gemara in Pesachim says that in the Mizmor of Hodu Lashem Kitov, Ki Le'olam Chasdo, all the 26 Ki Le'olam Chasdos, so the Gemara says, the last one of which is Noten Lechem Lechol Basar, Ki Le'olam Chasdo, that's the highest miracle. So you see that that's the system. So by the Tochecha, the last Pasuk, is the Minastam, is the highest Klala. How could that be? Ech efshar le'avin she'matzav kaze hu kashe she'batochechot. You hear the question? The question is, why is "Vehayu chayecha teluim lecha mineged" as explained by Chazal to mean that you don't know what's going to be the next day? You only receive for that day, parnasa, but you don't know what's going to be the next day. Why is that described as the highest form of klala in the tochecha? Isn't that the way they lived in the midbar? And not only that, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai explained that it was the ideal way so that it causes a relationship or strengthens the relationship between us and Hashem. So look how he explains it. He says, וְנִרְאֵה בְּזֶה דָבָר נוֹרָא. There's something awesome here. שְאַכֵן מַצָב זֶה שְמִצָד עַצְמוֹ הוא הַטּוֹב יוֹתֵר. Yes, ideally, this is the best מַצָב. It's true. Because it engenders a relationship between one and Hashem. כי על ידו מכוונים ליבם לאביהם שבשמיים כמו אצל דור המדבר. Ideally, it is a bracha, such a state of existence. However, יכולו להיות כגהינום בעולם הזה אצל קטני המנה שדואגים דאגת מחר. He says, however, that which is ideally a bracha can actually be גהינום-like if they are lacking in emuna, if they are ketane amana, if they worry the worry of tomorrow because they don't have emuna. Remember what we said about Hagar, that she was nitva. How could she fill up the canteen with water to the rim? Where is your emuna?
So, mechuseret amana haita chazal says. She was lacking in emuna because she filled up her canteen. So those who are doeg de'agat machar, like the Gemara says, kol mi sheyesh lo pato besalo ve'omer ma yeh lemachar, someone who has bread in his basket, but he's worried about what's going to be tomorrow, harei ze miketanei amana. That's a person who is coming up short when it comes to emuna in Hashem. So, yes, it's true that ideally the state of being that Am Yisrael lived in the Midbar, that was of course the best. But for Ketanei Amana, it's not. It's the opposite. It's a klala for them. So now, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz translates, you know what the Torah means in the Tochecha, v'hayu chayecha teluim lecha mineged? The klala is not the state of being. It's not the matzav that is described. It's the state of mind that leads to that being a klala. That's the klala. The klala is you won't have emunah. הכללה היא שיהיו מחוסרי אמנה כל כך עד שאם לא תהיה להם תבועה אלא לשנה הרגישו שחייהם תלויים להם מנגד. The klala is that they're so going to be lacking in emuna that if they have enough for 1 year, that won't be enough for them. They're going to still worry, but what about next year? וזה מדויק מלשון הכתוב. It's even מדויק from the way the Torah portrays the klala. שלא הוזכר בפירוש עצם המצב. It doesn't say in the pasuk, you're only going to have enough for 1 year. It doesn't say that. It says, שלא תהיה לכם תבואה רק לשנה. אלא ופחדת ולא תאמין. The klala is on the state of mind. You're going to worry. You're going to be afraid. משום שהמצב הזה עצמו הוא ברכה גדולה לאדם. ואינו כללה, because the מצב itself is a ברכה, it's not a כללה, אלא שהאדם עצמו, it's the person himself who is הופך את גן עדן בעולם הזה לעמק הברכה. With a lack of emuna, a person takes what could have been an ideal state of being, and he turns it into the worst. וכל הכללה היא על הרגשת האדם. It all depends on how the person feels. וזוהי החמורה שבתוכחות. And that is the worst of the תוכחה. We wouldn't have seen it that way. We would have said, okay, it's depending on my state of being. Okay, fine, that's not such a klala. I'll work on it. Right? No. The Torah is putting it at the end, showing us that to be in a state of lack of emuna is the worst of the worst. There's a lot to say here because it shows that all that preceded the tochecha, although it was very harsh, but if a person has emunah, he would be able to get through it. And the ultimate, you know, stamp on the worst state of the tochechot is ufachata. Ve'ayu chayech ve'lo ta'amin. If a person is ve'lo ta'amin, then nemafreya, all the things that were mentioned before, achen would be very, very bad. נמצאנו למדים שההסתפקות במועט ובהכרחיות היא דבר כולל ומקיף את כל דרכי עבודת האדם. So to sum up what we learned here in this שיחה is that הסתפקות במועט, to learn to be satisfied with less, to learn to be, to accept not having it all, to accept not having all the luxuries of the world, is something that is very, that is all-encompassing when it comes to the ways of Avodat Hashem. Ve'adam shehigi alekach, and one who reached such a level of understanding, zechuto gedola hi ad en shiur, has a great zechut. Ve'zehu ma she'amar Rashbi, that's what Rav Shimon bar Yochai said, ilmalei Yotam ben Uziyahu imanu, yacholnu liftor et kol ha'olam kulo min hadin, miyom shenivra ha'olam ad yom ad sofo. You know, the famous statement of Rav Shimon bar Yochai in Masechet Sukkah, that he said on himself, I can be poter everyone from the din. With my zechut, I can be poter everyone from the day of judgment. And with my son, I could be poter everyone from the beginning of time till today. And if Yotam ben Uziyahu, not Yonatan ben Uziel, it's two different people. If Yotam ben Uziyahu, who's Yotam ben Uziyahu? He was one of the Malchei Israel, one of the kings in the time of Beit HaMikdash Rishon. Yotam ben Uziyahu, it's funny, if you learn the Navi, so he doesn't really stand out necessarily as one of the big tzaddikim, but when you learn with the Mefarshim and when you learn with Torah Sheba'al Peh, Yotam ben Uzziyahu was a big tzaddik, and for some reason Rav Shimon bar Yochai picked him as from the trio. If he would be with me and my son, then we would be able to be poter the entire history, people from the beginning of time till the end of time, min hadin. Now, that's a statement in itself, right, to be studied, and it's a mind-boggling statement. But the point here is, what was it about Yotam ben Uzziyahu that was Yotam ben Uzziyahu that was so special? Pirush Rashi she Yotam. Look how Rashi defines the tzidkut of Yotam. Yotam tzadik haya ve'anav. He was a tzadik and a humble person. Rabbeinu Chananel sham katav, and Rabbeinu Chananel added, shenitbarer lo. What was special about Yotam ben Uzziyahu is that he knew, he was one of those few that knew, that he did not receive from his chuyot in this world even a little bit. He knew, how, I don't know.
How did he become the king without his
chut? Okay, good question. I don't necessarily have an answer for you right now. I'm just saying here, Rabbeinu Chananel is pointing out The what was great about Yotam ben Uzziyahu is that he knew that he didn't get anything in this world that was deducted from Olam Haba. Right?
Why is that so?
Just like, for example, Yaakov Avinu just said in Parashat Vayishlach, Katonti mikol hachasadim u'mikol ha'emet, one of the Pirushim in Rashi, what's Katonti mikol hachasadim? That Yare ani, I fear that nitnakuli mizchuyotai, that from my zchuyot were deducted because of the chasadim that you did for me, right? Yaakov Avinu said. That's the reason for the halacha. A person should not, the Gemara says, a person should be careful not to walk under a dangerous wall, a wall that's about to collapse. Don't walk under it, because if a miracle made that you survived that walk and it didn't fall, shema nikulo mizchuyotav, the Gemara says. Maybe that cost some of your zchuyot in the next world, and it's not worth it. Try to take a detour and don't make it on expense of your olam haba. Who knows how big it is altogether to begin with. So, we need every zchut we can. So, shema nikulo, this is a very important concept in itself. Yotam ben Uzziyahu knew that lo nikulo. You ask a question, being a melech, maybe it could be that his becoming a melech was in line, with his chuyot in this world, but he didn't take away from his olam haba.
Why is it so significant that he
knew that? That shows that he was totally clean, that he was filled to the rim with chuyot. Not one chut was deducted. So he had all his merits in place. Can you imagine? All the credits were not used. They were all, up to par. So that's a big ginyan, right? Nimtza, but leinyanenu, what is Reb Chaim Shmulevitz taking from that? Shekevan shelo lakach leatzmo klum ba'olam hazeh. He took nothing in this world. In olam hazeh, lo kavod velo motarot. Again, he was a king, that's true. But lo kavod, not any extra kavod, more than what he deserved. Vilomotarot, and not any extra luxuries. It could be that it could be your question answered your second question. The fact that he was a king and he didn't take more kavod and more motarot, that's what made him special in this area. Could be you didn't realize, but the second question answered the first one. Yesh bicholto liftor et kol haolam kulo min hadin. That is such a great zechut that it gives him the possibility to be poter kol haolam min hadin. וכן עברו בגמרא תענית, he ends off with the famous גמרא in תענית, כל יום ויום בת קול יוצאת ואומרת, כל העולם ניזון בשביל חנינה בני. Every day there is a heavenly voice that comes out and says, the entire world is supported with the זכות of חנינה בני, of רבי חנינה בן דוסה, וחנינה בני די לו בקו חרובים ערב שבת ערב שבת. And חנינה, my son, for him, he suffices on a kav of charuvim throughout the whole week, me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat. So now, normally you could just read this bat kol as two different statements, right? One is the big zechut. Look at this. The bat kol tells us that the whole world is supported by the zechut of Chanina bini. And look, and how ironic is it? That's how you normally. This is how it's seen. How ironic is it that Chanina himself, you know, who supports the entire world with his chuyot, he supplies himself on, he lives on a kav of charuvim mi erev Shabbat erev Shabbat. Says Rav Chaim, no, those two are connected. Nireh pashut she'en kan tziruv shel shnei dvarim. It's not just two pieces of information that are together. Elach shemikoach ze shechanina daylo bekav charuvim erev Shabbat erev Shabbat. It is the very fact that Chanina Bini only takes Kav Charuvim Erev Shabbat, Erev Shabbat. That is the very reason why Bizchuto Mikoach Ze Kol HaOlam Kulo Nizon Bishvilo. That's such a big zechut. The fact that he is, you know, satisfied with the Kav Charuvim Erev Shabbat and he didn't take more than necessary, that's what caused his zechut to be so big that he was able to uphold the entire world with his merit.